It is hour number two of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey at 145. Where are we at in society? The Canadian Broadcasting Company has a list of 23 words and phrases you should never use again. That includes grandfathered in. We'll look at the rest of the list and explain why. At 1:30, we now know when Texas plays whom next season. And a mere minutes, it is our weekly chat with the great and busy Justin Wells of IT and On3. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two. And before we talk to Justin, just a quick mention of some scheduling for tonight. You got Texas women's basketball over on 105.3 The Bat. They'll play Jackson State at 7. And right here on the Horn with high school football in the playoff rounds. Wednesday night means yes. Under the Lights is back at its normal time, and they're out and about tonight. They're at Bush's Chicken over on Brody Lane, so go see them. Brody Lane and Slaughter, go join Rick and Jeff. Rodney Rodriguez will be live out there at Bush's Chicken talking about all the high school football playoff action. Guests include Lake Travis head coach Hank Carter, Vandegrift wide receiver Reese Beauchamp, hope I did that right, and Liberty Hill head coach Kent Walker. So best of luck to all the area teams in high school. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina hotline. He is Justin Wells of Inside Texas and On3.com at JustinWells2424 on Twitter. He's a busy man right now. Justin, how are you?
Man, I am blessed and busy. It is a crazy last 72 hours, and I don't think it's going to let up, guys.
Yeah, so instead of us directing you, you tell us, what's top of your mind right now that you think a Longhorn fan would need to know today as we sit here starting December?
Let's be specific. Team-oriented, coaching-oriented, recruiting-oriented. Man, there's three doors. You got to pick one.
I got you. Let's go recruiting. Let's talk about recruiting and maybe whether it is coming off of all this Oklahoma news. Is there something Texas could take advantage of there? And then with the Evan Stewart decision, assuming that sticks, what does Texas do at wide receiver for this class?
All right, let's start with OU and Lincoln Riley.
Okay.
You know, Lincoln leaves Oklahoma and pisses off an entire state. Brian Kelly leaves Notre Dame and pisses off a religion. And so it's kind of funny how everything is transpiring. But with OU, in regards to Texas, it's opening the door for a handful of those commitments, a handful of those recruits. You know, most of those OU coaches are probably not going to return to Norman. And so Texas was very early on making sure to reach out to a lot of those kids. Let's start with Xavien Bryce. He's a big-time athlete out of Arlington Seguin. If you recognize that name, it's because Texas 2023 commitment, Jamal Johnson, it also plays at Seguin. That's his teammate. Bryce visited Texas back in the summertime with Jamal and a handful of teammates. He got an offer. He loved his time in Austin. But for some reason, they lost touch. They lost connection. OU swooped in, snagged him up. Now, this is a guy that's going to play corner at the next level, and he's going to play it well. He's 6'1", about 180, 185, got an incredible wingspan and really good hips. He's a kid you want. And so as soon as the OU news came out, Texas contacted, and now Xavien Bryce is going to visit Texas next weekend for an official. And I think that's a big case because Texas needs one of those big-time corners in this class. You know, if they don't happen to get the Denver Harris type, Xavien Bryce is such a superb athlete and football player. He actually plays quarterback for Seguin, and so he's cerebral. That's a guy that you kind of want to be on the lookout for in regards to OU. Then you got a handful of guys that are hitting the transfer portal. Jaden Hazelwood, Austin Stogner, I believe Marvin Mims is supposed to if he hasn't already. Dino Weiss. There's an exodus of guys there in Oklahoma, and don't get it twisted. People think Lincoln Riley moving on is what started this. It only started the domino. There was going to be some of this, whether Lincoln Riley stuck around or not. There was some culture issues within that program that our Ian Boyd at Inside Texas kind of identified a couple of days ago, that there were some things that this was going to happen. And so Texas is getting in on some of these OU commits. They're trying to see if they'll look both sides. Jacob Sexton, offensive lineman out of Deer Creek, and Edmond, Oklahoma, is another one they're paying attention to. So in regards to OU, yeah, there's going to be some pillaging. There's going to be some schools that come in. I read a report yesterday that Florida State sent some of their staff to Norman, Oklahoma, to talk to some of these kids that are in the transfer portal. It kind of reminded me of when SMU went through all of their violations and what would happen with the Pony Express. Well, colleges came to the campus and just started recruiting kids off the hook.
Yep.
It kind of reminded me of that a little bit. So, you know, in regards to the OU part, I think that's kind of something that you're going to see. I think Texas has the potential to grab a couple of those guys as well. And then when you look at Evan Stewart, you know, Evan Stewart's commitment came out of nowhere. And that's exactly what we always expected it to be. Evan does not, you know, he knows exactly what he's doing. He was never going to give out too much information. He loves the buildup. He loves the suspense. He's a born branding marketing guy. He's a smart kid. Of course, he's going to College Station, and I don't know how many times he's going to catch the football, but that's his decision. You got to wish him well. I don't think Texas is going to let up, though. I think they're going to continue to recruit him through the, you know, into National Signing Day. You know, as soon as he, you know, committed the other night, you know, he was on the phone with Texas coach Jeff Banks for 2 hours, just catching up and just trying to Banks trying to fill him out and see where he's at. And so at the end of the day, I do think Stewart sticks with A&M, and it's an odd couple. I mean, it's an odd mix, but you know what? Give him credit. He decided College Station. Let's see what happens 2 weeks from now.
Hey, Justin, as far as the receiving options that are in the transfer portal right now from the Sooners, you guys reported earlier that Texas probably isn't interested in Austin Stogner. They're maybe looking for a tight end who's a bit more of a dual threat in terms of not just a pass catcher, but also an inline blocker. Do any of those three receivers intrigue the Texas coaching staff more than the other two?
Absolutely. Jaden Hazelwood could play. Let's be honest. All three of them can play for Texas. Hazelwood, and Mims. If I'm Texas, I go straight for Marvin Mims. That's a proven commodity. Yep. That's a guy that people were begging Texas to recruit when he was at Frisco Lone Star. They kind of talked to him, but they kind of blew him off. He goes to OU, and he's had a fantastic career. A couple sources tell me that he may be looking at TCU. He might be looking at to hang out with Rashad Samples, Brian Carrington, and Malcolm Kelly, which is going to be an absolute recruiting machine between those three in Fort Worth now. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how these guys play out. I do think Texas would take any of those guys. I think Marvin Mims comes in and plays immediately, and I think Hazelwood could also come in and do the same. But it's early, and Texas isn't going to be the only school coming at some of these kids. And so that's where the guys, you know, us at Inside Texas, we haven't taken a break in a few days, man. This thing is continually going. And so you're going to see a lot of movement. The transfer portal feels like someone's taking an American census. It changes every 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. There's more and more people every day. And so I think more and more when we see kids hit that portal, we'll see a couple kids that start to tell people where they want to go or where they're leaning. And that's when you might start seeing dominoes fall.
Justin, hopefully people who listen to you each and every week on this program understand just how dialed in you are, not just with the Texas Longhorns, but nationally, because you are so good with your sourcing and cultivating relationships with players, with coaches, with administration, with parents as well. So it's why I can ask this question knowing that you'll give us a pretty informed answer in return. Who are you hearing that Oklahoma is likely going to hire to replace Lincoln Riley? Is it going to be Bob Stoops taking over on a permanent basis once again? Is it going to be Brent Venables? Or is it maybe going to be somebody completely different altogether?
I think it's going to be somebody completely altogether. I think Bob Stoops is basically a Band-Aid right now. With the way that Riley left and the manner that the Sooners reacted to it, which did you notice the difference when Riley left OU, those guys were so ready to leave, those players were so ready to take off, it didn't take long. When Kelly left Notre Dame, I'm not seeing that mass exodus out of South Bend. And to me, I think that's noteworthy. But, you know, I think OU is going out of the box a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if OU goes to the NFL and grabs a former college coach that's currently in the NFL, a guy that's got a lot of respect in both leagues and has done a tremendous job building programs. It could be Brent Venables, but something tells me Brent Venables, if he wanted to leave Clemson, I feel like he would have already done it. He's been there so long, and his name has cycled through so many times that I just don't know how interested he is in taking another job. Is Clemson at a point where he might want to move on? Possibly. But I just don't – for some reason, I don't see Brent Venables being the guy. I do think that they want to go big game hunting. I think they want a big name. And that's why they bring in a Bob Stoops, a guy to kind of calm the waters. But can you imagine Bob Stoops walking into a high school recruit's house? Hasn't been there – hasn't done this in, what, 5, 6 years? It's one of those, hey, kids, how's it going? You know, I don't know how well that's going to work, but I understand OU's thought process in it. At the end of the day, I don't think Stoops is going to be the full-time guy. I don't think Venables is going to be the guy. If I had to guess, I'm saying they're going big game hunting for a guy in the NFL.
Talking with Justin Wells, Inside Texas on 3.com. Before we leave recruiting, Justin, we got somebody here locally with a Westlake interest wanting to know about Jaden Greathouse. He's one of my favorite names in the area, so I'll throw him out there. What do we know about Greathouse? Because he's a 22 kid as well, right?
No, he's 2023.
23, my bad.
Yeah. But, hey, listen. Jaden Greathouse is a great kid and a great football player. He's one of those guys that I think probably – he doesn't have the ideal size for a tight end, but you put him on the field, you put him in a spot, you run the play, and he makes it. He always makes plays for Westfield. He's the ultimate team player as well. He's such a fun kid to speak with because he's so bright, he's so articulate. He's a really, really good kid, and I think he'd be a great get for Texas. They are squarely in it. Now, you're not going to hear a lot of recruiting stuff out of Greathouse because he's one of those kids that I don't know how much he loves recruiting. You can tell with some of these players, they absolutely love the attention. They love all the likes and retweets and all the Instagram stuff. They love all that attention. Greathouse is not that dude. He is not that dude. And he's one of those guys that keeps a lot of things close to the vest. And if you were to call him right now and want to talk about recruiting, you know what he's going to do? He's going to talk about this week's playoff game. Because in his mind, that's the most important thing right now. He is a very well-grounded young man. I think Texas would take him in the 23 class, and I know that he's interested in UT and vice versa. He's visited a handful of times. His teammate, Connor Robertson, is a solid commit to the Texas Longhorns, and I know that him and Connor talk a lot. And so to give a little insight on Jaden Greathouse, he's a kid that I think, you know, he's not your prototypical tight end, but he can play some flex tight end. He can also play some H-back. I just think he's a guy that – he's a team guy. You find a spot for him, and he makes plays. But right now, Texas is definitely in his recruitment. I think they look fantastic in that early on. But you're not going to hear much from him or about him, maybe not even until next year, granted, because he is a 2023. And also, he doesn't get wrapped up in recruiting like a lot of prospects do.
Hey, Justin, what's your prediction on this weekend's Big 12 championship game between Oklahoma State and Baylor?
You know, I was thinking Baylor all week. I really was, because they played some close games, and they pulled out a lot of those close games. They played really well down the stretch, and you have to give Dave Aranda a ton of credit. What he's done in a few years in Waco is outstanding. I mean, it's similar to what Matt Rhule did, except Aranda is getting it done a lot quicker. That being said, this Oklahoma State team is different. I don't know what it is. I know their defense is one of the saltiest in college football. They don't have the big-name offensive juggernaut guys like they usually have. And so you kind of take Oklahoma State for granted. But then you watch them play, and there's talent on the field, and they all know the roles, and they all know what they're good at. Jaylen Warren knows exactly who he is. You know, Caleb Presley knows exactly what he can do. And so you got to give Mike Gundy credit there. He's kept the expectations where they should be, and now he's squarely in the mix for a college football playoff appearance. Oklahoma State could wind up in the playoff if they beat Baylor on Saturday. That being said, I think it's Oklahoma State. I think Baylor, it's going to be close. I don't think it's going to be high scoring, because I do think both defenses play at a high level. They're very sound. They're very smart. But there's just something about Baylor in the last month. I think they've been throwing those punches, and they're emotionally exhausted, because they're playing so many close games. I mean, you're looking at a team that Texas was up double figures on going into the fourth quarter. And if that tells you something, it should. with Oklahoma State, that's another team Texas was up on as well, but I think they're playing better. I think that Oklahoma win kind of justified in their mind that they not only belong, they belong in the Big 12 title game, and they want to belong in the college football playoff. And what a crazy world that Oklahoma State jumped Cincinnati to take that final spot if they beat Baylor. I got the Cowboys. I think Oklahoma State wins on Saturday, and I think it's going to be close, but you know, it's funny. This is not your typical Oklahoma State team with a high-powered offense, with all these big-name receivers and running backs, and always with a big-armed quarterback. It's not that group. This is more sound group who they rely on their defense, and their defense is playing absolutely lights out this year. I give the Cowboys the advantage in a close one.
That's going to be an interesting game to watch on Saturday. By the way, that's an early one, 11 a.m. kick on Saturday. Get up early for the Big 12 championship game. Justin, before we let you go, speaking of Cowboys, give me your concern level for the Dallas Cowboys going into this game tomorrow night, and do you think they beat the Saints?
Yeah, there's some concern. It's mild, but there's some concern because of the COVID. That bug has gone through the locker room.
Yeah.
And it's knocked out a few players, some really important ones. I just read earlier that Amari Cooper looks like he's going to be okay to play. It looks like he had missed the last 2 weeks because, I believe, of COVID-related issues. And from what I understand, he's supposed to play. But here's the thing. Any other year, I would think New Orleans probably takes this game on Thursday night just because they've been the better team, the better franchise for the last 10 years or so. But the Saints are reeling. This is a team that it's similar to Oklahoma State. They don't have those big-name, big guns on offense like they used to have. I mean, you've got Alvin Kamara, and then it falls off. You don't have your Drew Brees, your Marcus Colston, your Michael Thomas. Those big guys, those offensive juggernauts are gone. And so – New Orleans is having to play a lot of close games. I think that helps Texas defense. I think that helps Dallas' defense. After last week, I think they need a kind of a rally game. I think they need a game where they can to get in the pocket, get some sacks, force some turnovers, get Trayvon Diggs back involved, figure out what Brown is thinking about when he's covering people. You know, fix those little things right there. I'm mildly concerned, but I think Dallas can pull this out. Only because the Saints just aren't your normal New Orleans Saints, and because Dallas has been really good coming off of losses.
That is Justin Wells. Check out InsideTexas.com, On3.com for the very latest with all that's going on around Texas, the Big 12, Oklahoma, coaching changes, all these things. At Justin Wells 2424 as well. Justin, thank you so much for working us in this week, man. Don't work too hard. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, come see us at InsideTexas.com. There is something posting all the time. There is so much news and so much movement. We'd love to have you. And nothing but love, gentlemen.
And it's all spot
Thank
on,
you,
too. Thank you as always, brother.
All right, before we hit the break, we got some help from a family member. I knew I felt like I'd mispronounced it, so thank you so much.
I was about to say something about this kid's family responding to your butchering of the last name.
This says, hey, guys, proud mom and longtime Horn listener. My kid is Reese Beecham, last name pronounced Beecham. Thanks for all you do, and go Vipers. I'm going to make sure I get that right because Vandergrift's one of those local teams I've kind of adopted. I dig the black and silver vibe. I dig the snake vibe. I dig the naming thing and the military connection, and they're one of those teams I root for. So I'll give you that love. Thank you, Miss Beecham, for letting us know. So Vandergrift wide receiver Reese Beecham.
What did you say the first time around? Beecham?
I said I said Beauchamp because there's a CHAMP to end the name.
Okay.
The spelling is there, but I'll get it right.
Okay, so it's Cajun then.
I don't know. I don't know any of that, but Beecham is the name. So Hank Carter of Lake Travis, Reese Beecham of Vandergrift, and Liberty Hill head coach Kent Walker. They will all be joining the Under the Lights guys tonight. Bush's Chicken on Brody and Slaughter. Get on out there and tell Reese that I am sorry for mispronouncing his name, and I'm kind of pulling for those Vipers this week. And best of luck to all those high school teams in the area trying to advance this week. Up next, we got some Longhorn news for you. How about the schedule for 2022? We already knew that it was official. Texas didn't quite go into the SEC yet because the SEC put out their schedule. Now we know the Longhorn schedule in order for 2022. We'll throw that out for you next on the Horn.
Shirts and Skins. We'll be right back.
Rolling through a Wednesday. Trey's got an indie playlist that he's hammering through with some wild names today. What do you got, Trey?
This is so wonderfully indie, Chad. This is Supergrass, and the song is called All Right.
All right, Supergrass. All right, more of that coming up. Also, can't wait for Where Are We At in Society today. Trey has another list. The last time it was a list of dating terms that I was about 40%, 4 out of 10 on.
That's you did well.
I did well, considering I haven't dated. I literally haven't dated since 1999. But this one is a list of words and phrases that we may not want to say according to Canadian broadcasters. So that's coming up at 1:45. I can't wait to hear about that. We talked about the busy night tonight, high school-wise, with Under the Lights. They'll be out at Bush's Chicken on Brody Lane, right there at Brody and Slaughter. We also invite you to come see us. And I mean, by us, I mean three shows out at Total Men's on Friday. We are excited to partner up with Total Men's Primary Care for a toy drive. Toys for Tots. Come join us at the Plaza Valente location, 620 and Anderson Mill on Friday. Craig and Jeff and Light the Tower will be out there. We will be out there from 12 to 3. And RBKD with Rod and Kevin will be out there at 3. It goes all the way up to 5:30 when we have Texas basketball for you. So come on out. Donate those toys to make sure everybody has a great Christmas. You can go to hornfm.com for more info.
Does Total Men's do blood panels?
Sure.
Like, will they draw your blood and test for different things, vitamin levels and whatnot?
Yeah.
I may have to do that before the show on Friday.
Ironically, I have my physical scheduled for Friday morning, so when we go on air at 12, I'll give you the full report, maybe the full report on how I'm doing.
All right.
We may find out if I'm broken by noon on Friday.
Could be HIV positive.
I don't think so, but hey, you gotta find out, right? You got to do all those tests.
Well, there are some questions that have to be answered if that ends up popping positive.
That definitely does need to. Yo, lots of questions. And the great part there would be I'd have the most questions. I'd have way more questions than anybody else. Okay, I think I know where I've been, and I don't understand. I'm confused. All right, so, Trey, we do have a schedule to talk about for the Longhorns in 2022. I'm a little sad about it because this officially means that the SEC lawyers and the Texas lawyers and the Oklahoma lawyers aren't as good as I thought they were. I thought they were good enough to force this thing through for next year.
Yeah, look, I hoped for that at one point, too. But as soon as the SEC put out their schedule a couple months ago, mind you, for 2022, I realized that 2023 is the year that we should all be looking at for conference realignment. And the Big 12 showed their hand as well, by the way, with the four schools that they're adding saying in that moment, these schools will be in the conference in 2023.
Right.
So
yeah,
that's when we can expect everything else to happen. I wonder what they do about that Alabama-Texas game in Tuscaloosa, because next year's game is in Austin. I don't know what you can do at that point. Maybe it counts as a non-conference game if they're not scheduled to play a certain year.
Yeah, I mean, well, right now we got a deal in the ACC now where they'll play conference games that aren't conference games. Are you aware of this happening?
No. Okay, well, then that makes sense.
North Carolina, when they played Wake this year, that wasn't a conference game. They just scheduled it.
What?
Yeah. It's really strange, but it's true.
I mean, it doesn't. I mean, I guess it makes sense from a standpoint of you denoting it before the year so that it doesn't count against the conference rankings. But at the same time, it's like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, it's weird because they just wanted to get an extra game in and they didn't want to schedule, I guess, a lesser team. SEC teams would obviously just call Western Carolina.
Yeah.
But so you don't want to miss that opportunity. So the Longhorns in 2022, Longhorn fans, you know one of those games. Trey just mentioned it. It's home against Alabama. Next year, a sight to see in Austin, that helmet against that helmet.
I can't wait.
That tradition against that tradition. That is very cool stuff. That's September 10th. So it starts with ULM coming to town. So Louisiana Monroe, then Alabama, and then, assuming it's still Jeff Traylor, unless he gets a gig, he did sign the extension, UTSA, Trey, comes in on September 17th. Not exactly a non-conference game that's a pushover.
I'm a little bit worried about a 1-2 start in non-conference play, Chad. Oh, no.
We'll see.
Wait a second. They weren't supposed to be like this when we scheduled them 7 years ago.
Yeah, let me assure you, a couple years ago, I went and watched UTSA play A&M at Kyle Field. They didn't feel like an undefeated team at the time or a one-loss team at the time.
Can we switch that game out for UT Rio Grande Valley or something? I don't even know if they have a football program, but UTSA, we should find a different UT system school to go with in game three.
It's probably a good idea. Yeah, I'd give that a shot. So you start with three home games there, then you will begin your conference slate in Lubbock against Texas Tech, last time ever.
Look, if you're going to play Texas Tech in Lubbock on a given year, you'd rather do so earlier in the year before the weather just turns very unpredictable to cold. It's always going to be windy there, and perhaps Tech fans will already have lost hope by that point in the year.
So theoretically, if this is the last run through the Big 12, that'd be the last time in Lubbock. Then they host West Virginia in week two. Then you've got the battle with Oklahoma in Dallas. October 8th is that. So we're still right around that same time, same week that we had this year. I think this year it was the 9th. So the Oklahoma game on the 8th. No bye weeks around it. They go right from West Virginia to Oklahoma, then come back home for Iowa State. That's a tough turnaround, especially if Matt Campbell somehow stays at Iowa State. I don't expect him to, but if he does, you're coming off the Oklahoma game and you have to deal with him.
At this point, he may be. It sounds like Notre Dame is leaning hard towards Luke Fickell. So if Matt Campbell's at Iowa State, they're going to have to reload a little bit on offense, including, of course, losing Charlie Kohler. And I think Brock Purdy, this is it for him as well.
I think he's finally got to go.
Well, he may get that extra year, though, because last year didn't count towards anybody's eligibility.
You're right. He could get the super COVID senior year.
And he sure as hell is an NFL quarterback.
No, he's not. Not right now. He would need a lot of developing to do there. Then, Trey, you go into a tough road part of the schedule. There is a bye week between these two games, but at Oklahoma State and then at Kansas State after the bye. It's a tough little stretch.
It is. Looking at the schedule, I don't know what to make of the Big 12 next year. I don't know if the Big 12 is going to be a decent football conference next year or not. And we won't know until Oklahoma hires their head coach and we see what happens when the dust settles with that roster.
Right.
The schools that are good right now, I mean, I guess Oklahoma State should stay good. They're not a senior-laden football team. Spencer Sanders, I believe, is going to be back. That Warren kid, maybe.
He's back. He's young, right? Isn't he just a sophomore?
Maybe you're right about that. L.D. Brown's going to be gone, but Warren is obviously the better of those two. Baylor's going to return a lot as well. So it seems like there are potential missteps up and down this schedule. And I'm not crazy, even though we do get Baylor at home this next year. It's that Thanksgiving weekend game. I'm not crazy about it being the Baylor Bears that we're potentially playing on that Friday, especially if it's been another middling season for the Longhorns and Baylor's good once again, because the Bears fans will fill DKR up, unlike what Kansas State fans weren't able to do this year.
By the way, I just double-checked. You were right. Jaylen Warren is that transfer from Utah State. He's listed here as a redshirt senior.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But is he a redshirt senior? Could he still go super senior? I don't know.
We're not going to know the answer for that question for like another 3 years.
Yeah.
Until everybody that was a part of last year is out of the cycle.
Exactly. And then another thing you don't know comes up November 12th, because we know the TCU coach, but what does it really mean? What does Sonny Dykes at TCU really mean for the Big 12 and for anybody that plays him? You get the game at home as a Texas fan. So what is that?
Long term, it could be really good because they are so good in terms of the recruiting right now. But short term, I just don't know, because I don't think Sonny Dykes is that great of a game day coach. I know SMU has been good for the better part of 3 years now, but at the same time, that may be in spite of Sonny Dykes, who the last Power 5 opportunity he had with Cal was extremely underwhelming.
At Kansas on the 19th, and you mentioned Baylor finishing it out. So right now it says Saturday, but we know that'll get moved to the Friday after Thanksgiving. So last run through the Big 12, you'll make one more trip to Lubbock, Stillwater, Manhattan, and Lawrence, and you'll get one more hello with TCU and Baylor. They'll both be in Austin, but that final game, final Big 12 game, I have to go back and check what the first Big 12 game was for Texas. We know what the last Southwest Conference game was, but what was the first Big 12 game? We'd have to look in 96. But then the last Big 12 game Texas ever plays, assuming they're not in the championship, regular season will be against Baylor.
You know what? I'm going off my memory right now because I was a freshman at Texas.
Okay.
And it was the very first game of the season. In a driving rainstorm, this was prior to the east side being renovated, against Missouri.
That's your guess?
Yep.
All right, look it up. The rainstorm in Missouri. I was at that game.
Going Kevin Dunn here.
I was at that game. We took shelter under the bleachers and sat in seats I'll never be able to afford. That's what happens when you're an Aggie that dates a girl at UT.
Here we go.
You end up at a Missouri game in the rain. You get it?
Blammo.
Nice job. 40, nice work.
40-10, Texas won that game, and it had to be stopped for a little bit, and they pushed everybody below the stands because of the threat of lightning.
Yep.
And there were, even Texas won 40-10. I think the stadium was fairly full at the beginning. After that rain delay,
oh
man, you could pick your seat after that. And we did. We sat 50-yard line about 20 rows up from the Missouri sideline.
See, that's interesting because, yeah, so we would have probably been, oh, you're on the west side.
We were on the east side.
On the east side. Okay, on the east side. All right, so I would have been across the stadium from you, but we were probably both in the same kind of seats, sitting in seats we never were going to be able to afford.
You were sitting on the Texas side of the field? Yeah.
Yeah, we hit, you know, went under the bleachers when they told everybody to get out. That was such a storm. Oh, my God, that was so much rain.
Yeah, that was crazy. That's maybe the worst rainstorm I've dealt with at a live football game. And there have been some fun games over the years that have involved rain in the Longhorns. There was a Kansas State game a few years ago. It was during the Charlie Strong era where Texas wasn't great. Kansas State was kind of middling too. Texas ultimately wins the game, but it was a sparsely attended game because of the rain. But the people who were there really wanted to be there watching and rooting on some Longhorn football. It was a ton of fun.
Here's the only, the other thing I remember about that night, that is easily the most ill-prepared I've ever been for rain. You know, I was like,
we were too. I feel like there wasn't rain in the forecast, and all of a sudden it hit out of nowhere.
Last stages of college, haven't really become an adult yet, not thinking forward to weather updates and stuff. It's 96. Nobody's checking their phones for weather.
Right.
Just all of a sudden it starts dumping, and it's 96, so nobody had a phone. I didn't have to worry about that, but it was your wallet's getting wet, the money's getting wet. You got to, you know, dry that out later and just soaked clothes and everything. But once you get to that point and you didn't have a phone on you, you just ate it. You just understood, well, we're just going to get wet, kids. And then it was fun.
I feel like we had a Nokia brick phone. That might have been a little bit before the Nokia brick phone.
That one you could hold over your head. That would protect you in weather like that.
Hold it over your head and spike it like a football, and the thing would work fine.
So there you go. There's your trivia. First regular season Big 12 game, Missouri. Last regular season Big 12 game will be Baylor, and both of those will be home game bookends for the Longhorns, assuming the SEC and all the lawyers can figure out 2023 to get the Longhorns and Sooners into the SEC picture. All right, coming up next, where are we at in society? Trey's got some words that Canada says we can't say anymore. Oh, good grief. This is The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
Somebody's in bad shape, but in about a minute of 80s montage time, they're going to be badass. Trey, who's this?
I was ready for somebody to start singing, "How Does It Feel?" This is the, how do you say that name? The Bravery. I was missing the R there at first. The Bravery is the name of the band. The song is called An Honest Mistake.
I think they call it, it's the Beecham, I think is how they pronounce that. The Bravery, there you go. Indie list is what Trey grabbed today. A lot of cool stuff and a lot of great names, different names of bands, including Supergrass and Dr. Dog have both been part of the show today. All right, hope you're having a good one. Coming up at 2, it's part 2 of Trey's interview with Bob Saget. Remember, Bob is going to be at the Paramount, the legendary Saget, at the legendary Paramount Friday. So go to austintheater.org for your tickets. That's coming up. And you've edited, right? You're saving our jobs today?
Yeah, for those who were upset that my conversation with Bob yesterday wasn't more Vogel. More
Vogel? Frank Vogel?
Good Lord, man. We are mispronouncing things all over the place.
Yes, we are.
More vulgar, excuse me, more vulgar yesterday. It's more Vogel. I'm not even going to try and say that word. There's more cussing today, Chad, that I had to edit, starting with Bob's infamous cameo in Half Baked and how that came to be.
And is today the day you ask about Coulier, or is it tomorrow?
Coulier is going to be tomorrow. Coulier is going to be the first question tomorrow.
You're saving that till tomorrow.
And I think he gives an answer with regards to was Coulier the mystery man, and you ought to know. That makes more sense than any other explanation I've heard for that.
All right.
Just have to stay tuned for that.
That'll be tomorrow.
You can also listen to the uncensored version of the conversation in its entirety right now at booksonpod.com. But don't do that. Listen to part two coming up.
Yeah, listen to part two coming up, and then you go listen to the unedited version later on like I'll do. Right now, though, let's go where are we at, because Canada's got a problem.
Where are we at in society today?
Today's Where Are We At in Society is brought to you by me apparently having a stroke when I try and say the word vulgar. All right, Chad, we do go to Canada for this next story. The CBC is reporting more than 20 words and phrases that are no longer okay to say anymore, and they give some explanations as to why. And this is actually via CBC Ottawa, who compiled the list of words submitted to readers and by some of their journalists who are peoples of color, according to their words. So let's start with the list of words, beginning with a trio of black male, blacklist, and black sheep.
Wow. Can't do any of those three?
Right. Does that mean we can't tell the black swan story anymore, which is actually a story that may be upsetting in the beginning, but has a very happy ending to it?
Oh, yeah. No, I guess you can't. Hmm. So the term blacklisting, that has a racial history to it, I guess? That's that...
It's not even about the racial history. It's just about the word black has come to be associated with a specific...
With the negative side of something.
...group of an ethnicity.
Okay.
And so because those terms do have negative connotations to them, you should just avoid them altogether.
So what do you say if someone's trying to blackmail you?
Extort?
Extortion. I guess that's the same thing. Extort is about money, though, right? Is it still extortion if it's not money? If they're trying to trap you with information, like they caught you cheating on your husband or wife and they're going to tell, well, you wouldn't say that's extortion, would you? Well, I guess you would, because they'd say, I'll tell or.
Yeah, extortion, it has the primary meaning, but its secondary meanings can mean blackmail. But at the same time, come on.
I know.
I think we can distinguish these different things here. So that's the first grouping of words. We also have ghetto and inner city, which you're not supposed to say anymore because it makes people who live in destitute areas and rundown areas feel worse about themselves when they hear that they're living in the ghetto or in the inner city.
All right.
No more playing of Elvis Presley's In the Ghetto song for that reason. We've talked about this one in the past.
Yeah. That was in Chicago, Drink Up.
The ghetto. Was it?
Wasn't it? Isn't it in the cold and from Chicago streets and the mother cries and I think it's Chicago.
Never listened that closely, but yes, do drink up. Yeah. Spooky can no longer be said at Halloween.
Oh, we talked about
that.
Because
there is a word within that word that I guess is racist. It's a word that I wasn't even familiar with until you enlightened me on it.
I think that's a bridge too far. By the way, if you are one of our listeners of color, please let us know if these are sensitive to you. Trey and I are two white guys having this conversation, so if there's a layer of it we're not understanding, please let us know.
Now, this one I do understand, and I might be okay without saying this one anymore.
Okay.
Sold down the river.
Sold, oh, yeah, okay.
Directly connected to the transatlantic slave trade, commonly used to express betrayal.
I'll be honest with you. I won't miss that one because I don't use that one.
That's the other thing.
I'm not that old. We all know I'm kind of old, but I'm not that old.
It's like if you told me I could never cuss using the term EGAD anymore, right. I'd be okay with that.
I've not used that phrase pretty much ever.
This one I really don't understand.
All right.
Grandfathered in. Any guesses as to why you can't say grandfathered in?
Because grandfather clauses were specifically designed as racial elements.
Wow.
That's why.
Good guess.
The grandfather clauses and the rules about voting and stuff that were grandfather clauses, they were strictly used to keep people from color voting.
Limiting eligibility to those whose ancestors could vote. All right, good guess on that.
Which was impossible.
Way to know that one.
That was their trap. They said you could vote if your grandfather could vote, but they knew that there's no way their grandparents could have voted, and that was the trap.
These next three words, I think, speak to this notion that we can't be scared of culturally appropriated language because not all of it is trying to be harmful. Some of it is trying to be positive. So how about these three words? Spirit animal, powwow, and tribe.
Ooh.
We are tribal creatures, Chad.
We are tribal creatures. Powwow. I think it's okay.
Powwow's a positive thing.
If you're having a powwow, that doesn't necessarily mean negative.
You're not trying to have a powwow to scalp somebody.
What was the first
one
again?
We were going to go really stereotypical with that term.
Yeah, no, that can be fine. What's the first one again?
Spirit animal, which is also a positive term.
Yeah, no, we don't need to. All those are fine.
By the way, Canada, be better.
Someone texted, I'm a brother. I don't see anything wrong at all. All right, there you go.
All right, thank you.
One person's opinion.
Lowest on the totem pole.
Oh, yeah.
The totem pole is pretty direct. However, I would also argue that you are making a very succinct point when you say lowest on the totem pole.
And if you talk to Native Americans and people that are more familiar with totem poles, they might tell you, no, that's the right phrase, because we never put anything cool low on the totem pole, ever.
Why would we do that? You never are going to pay attention to that. You're going to look up to see what we value the most on that pole.
Where do you see the badass carvings on the totem pole? At the bottom or the top? The top. We do that by design. It's okay.
Guess what? Pole assassin, she valued the top of the pole more than she did the bottom of the pole.
Now, that is a Curb episode you need to send Jeff Schaefer, the valuing of the pole by a stripper. See if he's interested in that one. Oh, she values the pole. She values all parts of the pole when she dances.
Do you value the wood?
Do you?
This one I can also understand as well. Savage.
Really?
Yeah.
Just the word savage, you think that turns racial?
Historically used by colonizers to speak about indigenous people or people of color. Now, here's the thing. Whenever you attribute savage now, it's kind of like how bad turned into good back in the 1980s. Savage is something that you attribute to somebody that you're showing admiration for.
Right, like if somebody does something on a football field, whatever their color, I'm not allowed to say that hit was savage, the game was savage.
Savage hit.
You know me, I'm also a pro wrestling fan. The word savage makes me think of Randy.
No, that's true.
And he certainly was a badass.
You know what? You talked me into being okay with savage. Screw you, Canada. We're keeping savage.
We're keeping savage, Canada.
Now, this one's interesting because I am more Armenian than anything else, and my people do have a tendency to move around, not stay in any one place for too long.
Yes.
But according to Canada, gypped and gypsy should no longer be used in our English vernacular.
Really?
Yeah, because the gypsies are hated on. Let's remember, Hitler was going after several different groups in World War II. The Jewish people obviously get the most attention because more Jews were killed by Nazis than any other group. But
right.
Hitler was going pretty hard after the gypsies as well.
Wow. See, I never thought of that. This is so crazy. I admitted this to you earlier. The word gypped, I always thought it was spelled with a J. I never thought that word referenced gypsies.
I learned that one a while back. It surprised me in the moment, too. But here's the thing.
Wow.
The gypsy lifestyle is a lifestyle that you are consciously trying to do unless you're a kid who was born into the gypsy circus.
Isn't it like being an Aggie? Don't you choose to be that?
Right. So Aggie jokes, still on limits.
Yeah.
Still allowed.
Yeah, Aggies choose to be Aggies.
And I think that we can have some fun with the gypsies as well, because guess what? They either don't care about what it is that you're saying, or they're probably going to kidnap your child and make them a part of the gypsy clan.
Dude, Tyson Fury calls himself the Gypsy King. He's the champ of the world. He's got belts and stuff. He's proud of it. He's proud of his gypsy heritage.
The Gypsy Kings are also a very popular band from the 1990s.
That is true, too. His family, Tyson's family, just would travel around and punch people, and that's what he does now, and they give him money and belts for it.
This one is hilarious because it is mocking the first world, but first world problem should no longer be said, according to Canada.
What?
First world problem.
We can't say that anymore?
You know what's a first world problem?
This.
Yes.
That list.
Getting hypersensitive over words that are very much in the gray area.
Oh, man. All right, there you go. Some words you might want to think about, according to Canada.
Real quick. Yeah. I got to get these two.
Okay.
Because, look, I understand dumb. We tell our kids not to call things dumb. I can maybe even understand lame as well. But brainstorm,
what?
Blindsided and blind spot.
Oh, good grief. Come on, man. That's silly. And by the way, if you can't use if you're telling me that the word dumb needs to be taken out of the language completely, you're insane.
Why do you think?
That's nuts.
Why do you
think? I just used three of them.
Why do you think we shouldn't be able to say brainstorm anymore, according to Canada's logic?
Brainstorm. Because the storm is more violent based on global warming? No, I have no idea. Why?
It could be insensitive to those who have brain injuries or are neurodiverse, Chad.
Oh, good grief. Now, that's the silliest one you've read so far.
That's dumb. That's dumb.
That is dumb. But also, I can see him doing this. My buddy Rick Sacamano, we're sitting and having a meal. He's eating a piece of pizza. He puts some sauce on it, he puts it into his mouth, and he eats it. And while he's chewing the bite, he looked over at me and he goes, dude, this is dumb. You got to try it. It's dumb. It's just dumb. Try it.
It's so stupid.
He used a word that it was totally positive, and he used it for something. It's silly. It's silly to say, just like I use the word silly. I'm not insulting anyone by saying that word. Come on.
Just like the word savage. It had a negative connotation hundreds of years ago. It's flipped. It's turned into a positive word now.
How many recruiting guys use that word when they're talking about football players? Of all colors. Oh, my God, he's a savage.
Mm-hmm.
You seen the way that guy blocks? Savage.
Mm-hmm.
That's positive. Just like freak. Are they going to tell me I can't say freak anymore? We started doing it with Javon Curse, but now we use it all over sports, and it's a positive thing. What a freaky good performance that was.
There may be some bearded ladies out there who were offended by it, though.
By the way, if some of those bearded ladies could find their way to New Orleans tomorrow night, my Cowboys need help blocking.
Yeah.
I'll take any help I can get on that front. All right, coming up, your 2 o'clock hour starts with Bob Saget, so I'm sure it'll get way more PC from here on out. Trey's second part of the interview with Bob Saget is coming up. He'll let you know how you can get tickets to see Bob this week. And then coming up at 2:30, we'll tell you why December 1st matters to us on the Horn.